So I need some readers. The first reader is going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Robin.
Now, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit. Not finding Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia.
Thank you. There was a door opened for Paul. And like I said, the first thing I saw was a worthy person, a man of peace. And I get this word worthy from Matthew 10, verses 11 through 14. Jesus was sending out his disciples to do a mission, and he said, whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. And Luke, the parallel passage sort of is Luke 10:6, and he uses the word, look for a man of peace. And the way I look at this is nobody is worthy of the salvation of Christ. He's not saying anyone who's worthy to receive the salvation of Christ. I think what he's saying is anyone who's worthy of our time to talk to them about the Lord. If they're going to respond in peace, if they're going to respond in animosity or hatred or vitriol, that's not our time. We only have so much time. It's the same with prayer, believe it or not. We only have so much time to pray. When my relatives were praying for my brother after he died, I rebuked them. I said, look, there are people who are alive that need our prayers. My brother's in heaven. They said, no, he's in paradise, not in heaven yet. I said, it doesn't matter. He's going to make it to heaven if you believe in this paradise thing, which I don't. Pray for me. Take his prayers. Pray for me. Pray for people you know that don't know the Lord. We only have so much time to pray. We only have so much time to tell people about the Lord. And if we're meeting a wall, we listen to the Spirit and we say, okay, sorry I brought it up. Wipe our feet, you know, and go and find someone who's worthy of our time. And I know that sounds harsh, but we know that that's true. A man of peace, someone who's worthy. So when I saw this, he came to Troas, and a door was opened for me. He saw perhaps someone who was worthy of his time, a man of peace in Macedonia. The second thing we see is Paul had to change his plans, because we see in 2 Corinthians, back in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul is defending himself to the Corinthians, saying, in this confidence I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, to pass your way into Macedonia, and again from Macedonia to come to you, and by you be helped on my journey to Judea. He had spent a year and a half there. He longed to go back to Corinth and meet the brothers and the sisters there and encourage them and be encouraged and get support for Judea. And he now explains in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2 that he had an open door. On the way to Macedonia, instead of going to Corinth, he turned and went on to Macedonia. He had to change his plans. And these false teachers in Corinth were saying, you know, he's not a man of his word. He said he was going to come visit, and he didn't. This was probably in his third letter, this being his fourth letter. But in any case, he didn't keep his word, and they were trying to slam him for that. It's pretty petty. That's usually what criticism from false people is. But he's defending himself, saying, I had a door opened for me in the Lord, and I had to change my plans. And that's okay. When we want to know how to do the Lord's work, when we see no open door, sometimes we don't want to go there because we have to change our plans. And we have to really think about that. Is that me? Or is that the Lord that doesn't want me to go through that open door? And oftentimes it's because of not wanting to change plans. Well, then we know it's probably an open door that we should follow. And that's okay. We need to remember that. We've changed plans at church when the lockdown happened and we had Ruby's Pantry and we couldn't use the senior center anymore. We worked here at the parking lot and we didn't like it. And there's some good and there's some bad about it. And then the senior center said, oh, you can come back. The volunteers can come inside for the winter. They'll keep you guys warm. And we're like, that sounds good. And we had it all planned to go. And the police department was all on board. And then we decided to stay here. We changed our plans again. We're trying to figure out what the open door is. But We think that Ruby's pantry is an open door, so we keep doing that. RU Recovery is 7 o'clock around the world. It starts at 7 p.m. It's on every sign everywhere. And we decided we're going to move it up to 6:30. That might open some doors for parents with children, and they were here till 9 o'clock and it was late. And God willing, that will be helpful. So you have to listen and see what the will of God is in these things. And then third of all, you want to look for open doors despite problems. Now listen to this. He says, when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother. Now he had sent Titus to Corinth to find out what the church was doing there, what was going on, because he hadn't heard from them. Actually, he had heard not good things, and he wanted to make sure that they were still following the Lord and right with the Lord, and Titus didn't meet them where he was supposed to. And so he had trouble, no rest in his spirit. Now that word spirit is not his flesh. In some, if you're a trichotomist, you might think that that's the newly created part in his being that's completely following the Lord, and he had no rest in there. So this was no rest that was not Paul stumbling or in his flesh. It was rest, no rest from the Lord, in a sense, because he's, what happened to Titus? Did he hurt? Did he not complete his mission? Has he failed me? These are all problems that we deal with when we see an open door. We have fellow believers who aren't holding up their end of it, or fellow believers who are in trouble, and they keep us from going into that open door. And Paul decided, well, I have no rest in my spirit, but the Lord is, I think, clearly leading us on into Macedonia. By taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. And that's telling to us. We can remember that we need to do that when we have a restless spirit, or people aren't holding up their end, that we still need to take the open door. The second thing I saw is that we need to look for triumph in Christ. If someone would read verses 14 through 16. Carl, thank you.
But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, and the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?
Thank you. Well read. We always, everyone here that's in Christ, that has trusted Him for salvation, I don't think Paul's just talking about himself here. I take this personally. We are always being led in triumph in Christ. Everywhere we go, we have triumph in Christ. And you may think, well, I'm not bringing anyone to the Lord. I don't even talk to people about the Lord. I'm too timid. I don't have any ministry. I'm not involved in anything in my church or here or whatever it is. You have salvation in Christ. You have an odor. You have a fragrance that goes out. People know. They know. And if you're trying to hide it, you give it up. You can't do it. That little light is peeking out through your little covering. You think, well, we can be thankful to God. That's the first thing you can do. You wake up in the morning and you say, wow, I'm just still so tempted by this addiction I have, or this behavior I have, or my timidness in the Lord. The first thing you can do is say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And then that fragrance is going out wherever you go that day. Thank you, Lord, for people growing closer to you. Thank you for working through me in some way, just by being there at work or in my family. There is a fragrance coming off of you, and people can smell it. And it's a good thing. And that is my second part here. And thanks to God, the fact that we smell to everyone. And I know in March, middle of March, they locked down everything and we couldn't come to church. And so the family came and we did some music. And then more people came and we kind of did this online worship thing. But the really good part about the lockdown is I didn't have to shower for 2 weeks. And it was really, saved a lot of time, and And then, you know, I started to smell, but you had the social distancing thing, so they couldn't smell me. It was good. I mean, so that's, again, that's not the kind of smell I'm talking about here, but to some people, that's how we smell. But everywhere we go, I love how he says this. He says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." Every place we go, we are doing that image. And I just can't help myself. I'm going to sing a little bit of this song by the Newsboys. We didn't have time to work up the whole band. But it's a bit of, how do you pronounce it, hubris? It's a bit of hubris when I first heard them sing this song. And it's obviously a concert song. And you know, you don't have to stand up and holler back or anything. But that's what the song will ask you to do. But it's a little arrogant at first, but if you think about it, it's right from this passage. The fact that everywhere they go, they make a difference in the world. He says, "Wherever we go, bluebirds sing and the flowers bloom and the grass gets green. It's a curious thing, but it's just our thing. Wherever we go, the bees behave and the treetops squirrels smile and wave. It's a curious thing and it's humbling. Where we go, little glowworms glow, little roadrunners run ahead. Gonna tell their friends, little mice, little men, get them all excited, all invited. Hands up, holler back here, let's throw this party in gear. We brought the welcome mat, wherever we go, that's where the party's at. Hands up, holler back here, we don't claim any know-how, we're giving God all that. Wherever we go, that's where the party's at. Wherever we go, the dumb get wise, and the crime rates drop, and the markets rise. It's a curious thing, but it's just our thing. Bullies make nice, crooks repent, and the ozone layer shows improvement. It's a curious thing, but it's humbling. Where we're led, all the living dead want to leave their zombie mob. It's a touching scene when they all come glead. God help us, we just love our job." And the chorus again. And, you know, you think about it, if you have believers in places of influence, they can help the crime rates drop. They can change people's lives. They can make bullies nice again, absolutely. They can make the markets rise. We know that from leaders who are following the Lord. They understand economics. Malachi and I talk about this all the time. Now, as far as the ozone layer showing improvement, well, we know that believing scientists are some of the best scientists in the world. They trust the Lord, that He created everything, that there's an answer to this problem, and they pursue it to the end. Whereas other hopeless evolutionary scientists give up early often, and that's documented as well. So I love that song in terms of in every place we have the knowledge of Him oozing out from us like a fragrance, and we smell to everyone. And the sad thing is, this knowledge of Him in every place, this smell that we have, is to those who are being saved an aroma from life to life. So those who are coming to the Lord, they smell that aroma from the Lord Jesus, and they come to faith in Him. They come to salvation, and that's a great joy. And then there's life to life. They then grow in that life. They have that abundant life in their life where God is working in them and changing their desires and their behaviors. And then life to life is eternal life. They're going to be with Him for eternity. Once saved, they're always saved. But the sad thing is, on the other side, among those who are perishing, we are aroma from death to death. And that's where that man of peace, the worthy person, comes in. When we get around them, they're just against us no matter what. We were talking to some people from the church here about their neighbors. And there's this one neighbor that no matter what you do to him, no matter how nice you are to him, he just doesn't like you because of what you believe. And perhaps that's just the way it's going to be for a while. And we pray that that person's heart would soften. But they just don't like us. They don't like our smell. And this fragrance is a theme throughout the Old Testament sacrifices, that fragrance goes up to God. And I'm not sure I put references in your insert for that. But Paul then finally says, the third point for number two, that we have this odor, is who is adequate for these things? And Carl chuckled when he said it. It's exactly the way Paul wrote it too when he said this. He's like, who is adequate for these things? That wherever we go, things change for the better. People come to faith, and people are thinking about it, even if they're mad at us. They're thinking about the truths that we exude just by being His, by being Christ's. And these three verses, 4 through 16, I put them as a memory verse at the top of your bulletin. It's just, they're incredible. But who is adequate for these things? We see in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6 that Paul is going to answer this a little bit. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, whom also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's what the Newsboys wrote in their song, too, that it is... We don't claim any know-how. We're giving God all that. We just go. And people come. And that's what Paul is saying. But we'll get into that, God willing, later when we get to that. But the triumph that we have in Christ, no matter what, even if we have to change plans or fellow believers discourage us for whatever reason, we are that sweet aroma of the knowledge of God in every place. And so it is that we talk about this adequacy. And we're going to end the passage today at verse 17 and look at six kind of checks for adequacy. So someone could read verse 17 for me.
We are not like many, pleading the word of God, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ and in the sight of God.
Thank you. So Paul mentioned six things that we want to just take a look at to make sure when we go out that we're not doing these six things, or we are doing them. The first thing he says, we are not like many. I feel like an important task that we have is that we are in the minority. And a lot of people use that minority as a badge. We see that a lot today. We take our minority status and we say, I deserve special attention because I'm a minority. Whatever that minority might be, like blue eyes. I do think blue-eyed people should get more whatever. But in any case, yeah. Because it is a recessive gene. But anyway, in any case, that's not what I mean. You know, we don't want to be like, oh, woe is me, I'm a Christian, I'm a minority, or... And maybe we are, maybe we aren't. We don't know how many believers there are in the world or in our city or anything like that. No, we want to make sure that we're not following along with the majority stream that the world has. We want to make sure that we're doing what the Lord has us to do, and often it's going to be that we're in the minority. So just to check to make sure that we're adequate for His work, so to speak. Not peddling, I thought, well, none of us do that. We don't give out the truth of God's word and the gospel of salvation in Christ for money. That's not a thing that we do. But then we might be doing it, here's a big one, we might be doing it so we can get people in our church. Maybe we even skip over the gospel and invite them to church. This is a place, I believe, for people of the Lord to gather, not necessarily to bring people in to evangelize them. That's not necessarily going to work. We'd have to change our service. We might want to call it then like a seeker-sensitive service. And that we've proven that that doesn't work as well as just loving the Lord and presenting Him. So we want to make sure we're not peddling it, that we're not putting something on it, that we want a notch on our belt. You know, I wish this person would come to faith so that I'd have five people that I've saved. Well, we don't save anyway. The Lord saves people. We want to make sure we're not peddling it for our own benefit or our church's benefit or anything like that. We want to make sure we love them. And then all of these things talk about love. The next one, he says, from sincerity. That's where the love comes in. We're drawn by love to talk to people about the Lord. And I don't want us to be second-guessing every time we talk. Now, am I doing this out of my own motives? The Lord is leading us to love people, to tell them the truth. And yeah, sometimes I have ulterior motives, but the Lord still wants us to do it. So don't worry about that. Then he says, as from God. We are from God. We are His ambassadors. He's asked us to do this. Remember that we are from God with this authority. We speak in Christ. And that's an authority that He's given us. We are His spokespeople to do this. And then finally he says, in the sight of God. And I love that concept that everything we do, He's watching. That's a good thing. He loves us. And He has Everything worked out for us. And I always go back and I put it in your bulletin insert. Actually, it's on the back of the bulletin. Nehemiah had three types of prayers in the book of Nehemiah. He had his long prayer. When he found out how bad Jerusalem was, he wept and prayed for days. And I've never done that. And sometime in the near future, we might be doing that. We might take 3 or 4 days to just weep and pray. And then he went before the king. Now, he was the king's right-hand man. He couldn't have any look of, you know, distraughtness on his face, or he'd be put to death instantly, because that meant people got to him and he was trying to kill the king. So he washed up and he put on a big smile and he went into the king to give him his food. And the king says, "What's wrong?" So Nehemiah prayed what I call his short prayer. So the Lord, Nehemiah went to the Lord and said, "Lord, help me." And then he answered him within that quickly. That's a short prayer. God hears those prayers. He wants us to throw those up there. When someone says, you know, "Why do you believe in this Jesus mythology stuff?" "Lord, help me." Away you go. Just a short prayer. He loves those prayers. But the prayer I'm talking about is his prayer in everything, where he kept saying, and I've got the five times there, he'd say, "Lord, remember me that I did this thing. Lord, remember me." And he kept saying that. And I think that's what Paul's saying here, in the sight of God. "Lord, I don't know what my motives here in talking to this person is, but I do love them and I want them to come to faith in you. Work through me." So I think we look at these three things. We want to look for open doors. We want to look for open doors. Look for people that are open to the gospel. We want to change our plans if the Lord's leading us through an open door, despite any problems that might come up that thwart that. We want to look for triumph in Christ. He always brings the triumph, starting by just thanking him. "Thank you for saving me. Thank you for wanting to use me, because I am not adequate. But thank you for that aroma that you send out ahead of time so people can decide, I don't want to talk to this guy. Or, all right, I think this person has something. I want to hear something from them." And that we have the adequacy in him. So let's pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you that you encourage us, that you have chosen us in Christ to believe in you by our own free will, and that we have that access to you through him, through his work on the cross. And Lord, you have given all of us a gift. You've given some multiple gifts. And Lord, we want to use those for you. There's no greater joy. And I know probably everyone here feels like we haven't done it as you would have us do it, that we have not worked for you. Part of the reason is we don't feel adequate. Well, thanks. You finished that off right here this morning. We can't be adequate. It is your work. Who is adequate for these things, these life and death, these eternal issues that we're dealing with people? You just ask us to be faithful, as the psalm writer wrote in our offertory today. Just ours is the faith. And I pray that we would step out in it. We'd find those open doors. We're going to have open doors today. We pray that Alex would have open doors with his dad. That all of us would have open doors with those loved ones around us to ask the right question even. Lord, that we would listen to your spirit in those times. And we look forward to the triumph. Even if we can't see it, you've promised that there's always triumph in Christ. Just by being there with that fragrance coming off of us. And we look forward to even seeing some of that victory. And Father, we thank you again for these checks on our adequacy, that we would remember that we're your people. We're speaking with your authority. We want to have pure motives of love. Clean us up in that way. We thank you again for Jesus, being able to talk to you through him. Amen.